Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
We began tonight's service with the song, the words of the song, with the song Min HaMetzar, the words of that song, Min HaMetzar Karati Yah, from the narrow place. I called out, Yah, I called you, God. Anani b'merchav Yah, you answered me with also expansiveness. That phrase is really, maybe of all the phrases in Psalms and Tehillim, that is the one that is most often cited as the Exodus phrase. Right? Mina Mesa, from the narrow place, the word Mitzrayim, from the narrow straits. Egypt is Mitzrayim, the narrow place. And from that place, the slaves who were slaves for 430 years called Yah and said, God, where are you? Anani b'merchav Yah, and you responded to them. And then Rabbi Deborah Sachs-Mintz, who composed that beautiful song, added another phrase, Adonai li lo ira, God is with me, what do I have to be afraid of? Maya seli adam, what can men, people do to us? It's a profound statement of courage, if not a bit of inaccuracy. We know all too well from October 7th what human beings can do to us. We know well what it is to call from the narrow place and not be answered with expansiveness. If you had asked me when I began my rabbinic career some 25 years ago, what was the number one value that I held as a rabbi, as a human being, in the world of ideas, in the world of thought, in the world of philosophical underpinnings? What did I value the most? I probably would have said some version of multi-perspectival living. But by that I meant that having once been an ultra-Orthodox Jew, once having believed certain things about Judaism, believing certain things about the world, if you had asked me, I would have said that I know all too well the dangers of certainty, the hubris and the arrogance of my way or the highway. I knew all too well in my own heart and mind what it was to think that goyim, non-Jews, didn't have a chelik la'olam haba, would never, ever enter, right, the world to come. I knew what it was to recite chapter and verse of Tanakh that talked about Am HaNivchar, we are the chosen people. I knew what it was, as an ultra-Orthodox adherent, to be so convinced of my worldview that I could imagine a world where it didn't matter, you know, non-Jewish souls didn't matter. What about the billions of Buddhists and Christians and Muslims? What do you do with all of that? Well, I don't care. And so when I became a liberal rabbi, it wasn't just a calling card to be multicultural and multi-perspectival. It was an acknowledgement of epistemological humility. How can I know everything? There are multiple perspectives. I know that there's another story. And it terrified me, of course, to imagine the reification of my own side. If only I'd been born where you were sitting, I would believe what you're believing. And the silliness of perspectival madness, holding on, right, till the knuckles are white, to what I thought was true, was a surefire way to being a fanatic. And the worst thing you can call a liberal human is a fanatic. There's no greater sin, not eating pork on Yom Kippur, not eating shellfish at shul, calling somebody a fanatic, a liberal who can't take the position of the other. And of course, that is, of course, the most important value, what the other sees. In liberal synagogues that I was trained in and that I then started, the center was the dangerous place to be because the margins are what we focused on. Whoever was on the margin, how might they feel not being centered? And so epistemological humility also grew into social justice, seeing the other and their perspective. What does it feel like for you to be you, to be left out, to not be centered, to not be thought of, to not be thought through? So if you would have asked me, in all those 25 years until October 7th, I would have said that the most important value that I have is the recognition that there is always space between what I think is right and what actually is, between what I think is the story and the actual story, that there was room. And that the real danger in the world, the real danger, are actually those who don't agree with that statement. Those are the fanatics. Those are the ones who are so certain of their worldview that it leads them to fascism. And more often than I can imagine, that perspective was amply represented by the right. If you ask the right, their worldview was airtight. They knew who the good guys were and the bad guys. God forbid there should be gray areas. The gray area is all the insidious undermining of certainties. We are certain about things. It's all binary. It's right, wrong. It's male and female. And certainly, as a Jew, I could point to the anti-Semitism that emerged from that worldview, the worldview of those who were so self-assured of themselves that they could take a life, that they could walk into a tree of life and murder. And now, in the post-10-7 universe, a phrase that we're about to say in our prayers comes to me over and over again. In the very last prayer before we'll rise for the Amidah, you'll see it a little bit later, it's called the Hashkivenu prayer. God, lie us down in peace, build for us a sukkah of peace. It says, Vaser Satan milefanenu meacharenu. Remove Satan or evil from before us and behind us. Haser Satan milefanenu, in front of us and meacharenu, behind us. Milfaneinu I get. The milfaneinu, the Satan that is in front of me, I get. Indeed it is the fascistic, self-assured fanatic who is so fundamentalist about their worldview, about their religion, about everything. Scary. And it's so glaring to us, we who are privileged enough to be those who understand, that they don't get it. They don't even understand that there's another worldview. They're not even willing to take the space of the other, not willing to stand in on the other side. It's all self-assured, solipsistic, and closed in. That's milfaneinu. We see it clearly. We marched against it. I was arrested for it back in 2017. And certainly, if you ask me, its great exemplar, its paragon, its poster child has orange hair. At least its expression here in the United States, for the most part. But if you asked me before October 7th about Satan Me'acharenu, the devil that's behind us, the one we don't see, the one who creeps up slowly, the one who darts away when we turn to face, the one who in some ways is more glaringly and dangerously and invidiously and insidiously dangerous, I would have said, alarmist. I wouldn't have said this, but people like me would have said, alarmist. You're making it, it's not that dangerous. The ones who are multicultural and multi-perspectival, the ones who take the position of the other, always those, that is a clarion call of liberalism. That is a clarion call of evolution. Can any one of us say that the Satan Me'acharenu, that perspective that seemed prima facie to be safe, in fact, not only that, we invested in it, we went to schools who taught us it. We ourselves held it as a principled stance on how to view the world. Can any one of us say today, after seeing what we've seen over the last couple of weeks on campuses around the world and in this country and 10 blocks from here, that that Satan that was me'achareinu, that was behind us, is now not also milfaneinu, right in front of us? Here in Romamu on the second night of Passover, we had a Seder and a very well-respected, beloved leader in our community came over to me and said, I had to walk up to the campus to see what was going on. So I walked up and I was able to come into the encampment. And then I took a picture of these 10 or 11 rules for those who were on the lawn. And he showed them to me as an example of kind of, you know, a measured menshi protest that isn't being mentioned in the media. And so I went through the 11 different things, and they were lovely. Make sure to pick up your garbage and recycle it. Very important. Very important. Make sure that that you're polite to one another, right? You treat one another with respect, right? Codes of conduct. It was lovely. It was great. And there was one also about not talking to counter-protesters, to not use vile speech, all these wonderful things. And then embedded, it was number 6, was remember that we were all visitors, great so far, right? I'm a visitor. God's world. God's world. Make sure we're visitors because all of us are colonizers on colonized land. And then when, of course, the requisite demand to make sure there's a land acknowledgement for the Native Americans, of course. And then, of course, it then made its way into the theory of colonizing, which, of course, all of us here, I don't know all of you, but if you are someone who stands next to this flag, you are also on stolen land. And I remember standing there with him, and I thought to myself, wow, isn't that Satan me'achareinu? Isn't that the devil behind us? All of these wonderful values, there were like 9 or 10 that I think I want my children, all of them to live by. But then there was one in there, there's one value that undermines all 11 other ones. One value that all of us are seen through the prism of being colonizers, that all of us, Jews in particular, of course, if you support the state of Israel, you are living on stolen land. You are a thief. And rest assured, that those polite platitudes will not stand in the way of cleansing and correcting that historical crime. And so as we left Wednesday night, I walked to the corner and there were streams of police cars passing in front. And our wonderful security guard said, Rabbi, be careful, right? There's something going on right now. This was Wednesday night. And so I was walking with my wife, walking home. And I said to her, I said, I have to go up to Columbia. She said, no, don't go. I said, I have to go up. So she walked home and started walking to Columbia. And I promise you, from the time I hit 111th Street, I started looking behind me the whole way. Behind me the whole way. I never felt like that in my life walking on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Behind us. And not just physically behind us, but in the air that we breathe, in the structures that we imbibe, the educational platforms, and all of them with, not all of them, many of them, and this is the danger, many of them with great intentions trying to educate us and edify us. Who wouldn't want to have a more equitable universe? Sign me up. Who wouldn't want us to stop stealing land from other people? Sign me up. Who wouldn't want us to take the position of the other, whomever they are, and believe that what motivated them can be understood in the context of some historical cause and effect? Sign me up. And like I said to a friend of mine, it's like you're on this mountain, this Mount Everest of universalism. You're a Jew, and you want it. You're liberal. You want to be as high as you can possibly be. I'm going to climb it with everybody else. We're going to climb equity, right? End racism and all forms of discrimination and bigotry, and you get to the summit and you're standing next to somebody and you say, wow, it's so good to be an evolved human being. And they say, are you a Jew and a Zionist? Oh, we don't want you here. Oh, no. And then they'll parade out all of the Zionist or not really, all of the other Jews who were having a Passover Seder on the same lawn with them as a proof text. You see, Jews can also participate in our protests with the Palestinian people. I stood there on the corner of 116th Street as our group of 100 non-Columbia students with three Palestinian flags, all of them faces covered in keffiyehs, shouted violent, vile things at the police and at me as a Jew as I was standing there. And I wanted to say to them, I'm all for boycott, divest, and sanctions against these schools. I wanted to say to them, the ones who should be divesting are those whose names are on buildings that are being taken over. I protested for Palestinian self-determination. And when the time comes again and sanity reigns again, it is very possible that I will be protesting again for Palestinian sovereignty and self-determination. But what was unleashed on October 7th was that we saw for the first time the slow creep of systems that had partial truths, but ultimately, just like the systems on the right, could lead right back inexorably to hating Jews. There were 500,000 homeless people in the United States last year. Not one protest around the country on homelessness. If you read the statistics about rape and sexual violence in the United States, 400,000 cases last year. Not one campus protest. We could make a list of all of the countries whose human rights violations far exceed the small, democratic, Western Jewish states. But there were no protests around those governments last year. And all we Jews want to do is say, can we just, what's happening? We called out to God from a narrow place. We said, God, expand for us. This moment is a moment of absolute clarity for us as Jews, and it should be. We know with absolute certainty that we are flawed, that we make mistakes, that there is no government in the world that is perfect. We know that as human beings, we will make errors of judgment and errors manifold. But what we are witnessing now in the United States and around the world is a cauldron of Jew hatred that must be named for what it is and be fought. Now is not the time for us to choose multi-perspectival living. Now is not the time for us to get inside the heads of the students who are brainwashed by these absurd theories of Jewish guilt and Jewish blame. Now is the time for us to stand strong, name it for what it is, not back down, and to use whatever it is that we have in our power to change the narrative going forward. This is a moment like no other moment in our lifetime. So here we are. I want to pray for the ability to see and name that which is behind us. God, give us the strength. V'aser Satan milefaneinu, great. Nothing in front of us. We see it clearly. But more importantly, help us to see that which we can't see. And now having seen it, help us not to forget how vital that is. I pray for that, and I pray that a year from now, if we're sitting in the same place wherever we are, that Pesach will be completely different. The world will have less Jew hatred. And that we as a people can actually celebrate together a danger that once was, not a danger that is continuing going forward. May God give us that strength. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.